This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, the lady who covers the Indians for MLB.com, she is Mandy Bell. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, man.
Hey guys. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for being with us. You were in New York last night. Carlos Santana hits a home run. Yay, up 3-2. That's wonderful. And then the fun starts in the bottom of the 10th inning. First of all, Terry Francona afterwards said that play should have gone home to Carlos Santana. Is he being honest, or is he protecting his closer on that one?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I mean, the way that Roberto Perez answered it, too, was the ball should have come home. He said that we would have had him out by a mile, but he decided to go for the double play. I mean, when you talk to Jason Kipnis about it, he was like, it was sort of just a ball hitting that spot where we need a little bit of a refresher course on it, just because it was tough. When you talk to Brad Hand, he said that he assumed the ball was going home, and he didn't break toward first because he figured he'd end up getting in the way of a throw. Santana ended up going to second. When he realized it was going to second, it was a little bit too late for him to get over to first. Kipnis is obviously not going to be a man that gets over there. He's like, in 9 years, I've never seen a second baseman cover a double play ball, but that doesn't mean I can't if I see it and I can take priority. But that's just one of those that just hit in a weird spot that none of us really were in the right place that we needed to be in, and then couldn't get the job done. So it was tough. I mean, if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Brad Hand. And I don't know if he didn't, if he just sort of forgot off the bat and was able to use that. And that's what Tito was able to back up to, wouldn't just sort of save him a little bit in that situation. Or if he was really thinking, okay, this ball's coming home, I don't want to get in the way of a throw. And none of us really know.
Do we have any idea what Terry Francona called? So if he calls the runners, if he calls the corner guys in, it seems to me that if you put the guys on the corners in, that the play was to home. But you still got to look the runner back and assess the play. Now, he decides to come in. If he comes home, he comes home. But why would you – I'm confused on a bunch of levels here. Why do they walk the runner? If you're going to walk the runner, then you're trying to set up a double play, but yet you're going to bring your corner infielders in, and that would make most of us assume that the play was at the plate. Back that up with what Terry said after the game, that the play should have been at the plate. Yeah, it's like gigantic communication errors, what I think. I don't think they were all on the same page.
I think you said it the best. It just doesn't seem like everybody was on the same page, because whenever you do give up the free pass there, it's obviously setting up to just have the – you know, the game-ending double play, and then you can get out of it. And that's sort of the double play ball that they needed to be able to, if that's the way that they were going. But as you said, I mean, Santana fielded that ball in a few steps in front of the bag. I mean, he was on the grass whenever he fielded it. Should he have come home in that situation? I just think everyone was sort of thinking on different pages. And whenever you have that, you obviously can't really win too many games. So it's a... that was a tough one for them last night, and you could feel it in the locker room. I mean, everybody just seemed just frustrated and as silent as could be when we were walking in there.
Mandy Bell joining us, MLB.com. You could throw out all the different numbers we want. Bottom line is Brad Hand is not pitching well, hasn't since the All-Star break, really hasn't over the last four or five games or so. If you're Terry Francona, you're Carl Willis, what do you do here? Do you stick with him because of his confidence? Do you yank him because you're in a pennant race and let him find himself in the seventh or eighth innings, Mandy? What do you think they're going to do?
I don't see any issue in allowing him to find himself in some games maybe that where he isn't in a safe situation, if you throw him in seventh or eighth. But what the Indians are going to do is they're going to stick by him. I mean, that was very, very clear last night whenever Tito was talking. He said, Brad's our closer. We're not going to run from him. If we want to go where we want to go this year, we need to get him hot again. And I think it just I understand that, and I think that that's smart to stand by him, and because he's proven so many times this year what he can be. But to get him hot again might mean like giving him some time outside of the closer role. I mean, maybe some more consistent work. Tito was talking about that the other day, where he thinks that on his part he could get him in more consistently, just because his time has just been so sporadic over the last few weeks. That and Brad was saying that last night. He was saying, I mean, yeah, I think consistency would help. I don't know if it's more work that I need or what it is, but I'm down to try whatever that they're willing to do. And so I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're going to be turning to anybody else, though, in this time period, whenever he's sort of going through this his own version of a pitcher slump.
Mandy, how much scoreboard watching is going on right now? And the reason when you walk into the clubhouse last night and it's so flat is, look, let's face it, they had the opportunity to pick up a game back on the Twins last night. And how much scoreboard watching do you think is going on?
It's hard not to. We talked to Adam Pletko, the starter, last night, and he was saying, yeah, I mean, yes, we had an opportunity, but we're focused on winning every single day. And they give the answers that they need to say and talk about the fact that they're focused on day by day, but and they're not really focused on what the Twins are doing. But it's hard not to be. Every single person in there, you know, that knows that the Twins lost. They know that they have a chance to gain a game on Minnesota, especially as the days keep going by here. Whenever early September, they're going to be facing each other again. I mean, there's a lot of scoreboard watching going on. We've seen so many times where we're sitting in that clubhouse and we see the Twins game on every TV in there. So they all know it. They're all well aware of it. And yes, last night was a big missed opportunity.
Mandy Bell joining us. She's in New York. MLB.com covers the Indians. Also in Akron to watch Carlos Carrasco pitch last time out. And Mandy, I didn't want to put Carlos in any conversations because I didn't think it was fair to him with what he's fighting with leukemia. But the minute that he goes on the mound and starts to get guys out, I think it's fair to put him into conversations. If he can get guys out in AA right now, how close is he to getting guys out in the major leagues for an inning at a time or two innings or whatever?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he is tonight. I think the big thing is that they just want to see how he responds, how his body bounces back. He was going through bullpens over the last, I don't know, month or two, and he hit a point where his body just was tired. He wasn't feeling as great as he would have liked, and he had to be shut down for a few days. And then he came back, and ever since he came back, it seems like his energy's been off the charts. I mean, anyone who knows Carlos Carrasco knows that he's a bottle of energy, and he's just sort of seemed like himself again, and he seems ready to go. He's chomping at the bit to get back on the mound. But again, it's a tough situation to read, because there's not really any rule book that you can follow set him up perfectly, because it's just all how his body is going to be able to handle it. So I think this, like, tonight's will be important, and making another one just to see maybe more than just one quick outing, to see how he handles it and see how he's able to go from there. But after that first appearance, man, I mean, he's hitting 97 on the gun on the first pitch of the night, and he did a lot of things that he said even surprised himself. It surprised everybody in the organization. And if you could get him back healthy, I mean, my goodness, he could be a big asset for this bullpen.
Corey Kluber, where do you sit with him? And how does the events of the last couple of days here change the way the Indians' mindset is about setting up the rotation?
It's a challenge. I mean, to hear Kluber was so close, I mean, that could have been his last rehab start before rejoining the Indians rotation. I mean, he was so close. And to think that now he has another setback, it's tough to think that he's going to have, even if this goes well in the next 2 weeks and he's reevaluated and he can go right back out on an assignment, it's tough to think that he's going to be able to get himself turned around quickly enough to make an impact. I mean, he's put himself on a time crunch here now. That this was really the opportunity to come back and to slow it down is such a challenge. And it's why it's so important to see guys like Aaron Civale, who's going to be taking the mound again tonight. If you can just, I mean, how long can he go before he actually has to show that he's human? I mean, the impact that he's made on this rotation through all the struggles that they've had has been really impressive. Same with Zach Plesac, although he's had a little bit of some shaky outings his last two times out. But, I mean, these guys are so important now. Whenever you're thinking that Corey Kluber's coming back, I know the Indians were thinking that and relying on that whenever they decided to trade Trevor Bauer at the deadline, and this is going to change a lot of things for them. But the young guys have been doing everything that they could possibly do. Adam Plecko gave a solid start for the Indians yesterday. I mean, they're trying to patch the holes as best as possible, but I think it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be tough if Corey Kluber cannot get back this year, and it looks like he might not be able to do it now with this setback to get back in the rotation. But maybe someone having someone like Carlos Carrasco get back in the bullpen can help maybe balance it out a little bit more. But the Indians don't have it easy right now. That's definitely for sure.
Mandy Bell joining us. MLB.com covers the Indians. Mandy, let me throw one other rehab name at you that I don't think has been on anybody's radar. Tell me if Bradley Zimmer is on the Indians' radar to return this season in the majors. Do they need him? Do they want him? Last night, played in Akron, second straight game, had two hits.
I think what the Indians were trying to do when they set up his rehab assignment was they were trying to time it out that he would line up perfectly for September 1st, whenever the rosters do expand. I think in that case scenario, I think he'll be in Cleveland at some point. I think whenever the rosters expand, there's no point why not to try him out a little bit. But it just seems like it's just so crowded in the outfield right now, especially with Jordan Luplo working his way back. And he went back out over the weekend. He started to get cleared to do land-based activities. He's running again. He's hitting again and throwing. I mean, he's getting closer and closer by the day. So they're getting very, very crowded in the outfield, so it's tough to imagine a place to work Bradley Zimmer in. But to go this long without seeing him, I don't see why they wouldn't throw him in the mix a little bit whenever the rosters do expand. But the way that they push back his rehab assignment date, start date, to make sure that it lined up with September 1, it gave the impression that they will be seeing him at some point.
Mandy, a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Mandy Bell, you can read her at MLB.com, covers the Indians. She is in New York for the final game against the Mets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.